May the Lord help us to commence our worship this evening with hymn 154. Much we talk of Jesus' blood, but how little's understood of his suffering so intense, angels have no perfect sense. Who can rightly comprehend their beginning or their end? 'Tis to God and God alone that their weight is fully known. Hymn number 154.
Thank you. Our reading this evening is taken from the first epistle of John, the fourth chapter. One John chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try these spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you've heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And every one that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear of torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Gracious and holy Lord God, teach us now how to pray. And help us with that reverence, with that sacred awe, to venture near thy throne. Help us to worship this night at Emmanuel's feet and know God with us in ties of blood. Grant us thy presence amongst us. Give us thy peace upon us. And bless us with that faith in thee. Help us, Lord, to worship thee, the Almighty God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our Creator, our Ruler, our Judge, that one to whom we are accountable to, that one to whom we must one day stand before, and give an account to him as to how we've lived here below. But Lord, this night may we also be able to worship and adore our Father, our Saviour, our Comforter and our Friend. May we worship thee in love, in adoration, in praise, May we know thee as our everlasting all. Bless thy word unto us we've read. Grant, Lord, that we may gather this evening as hungry and thirsty sinners around thy word. Give us, Lord, an appetite for thy word, and feed us from it this night, and grant us to drink of the springs of living waters. And may our faith be strengthened and be stronger when we leave thy house and when we came in. Give life, Lord, to those who are dead in sin. Those, Lord, who are strangers totally to thee, may, Lord, this night they begin to know thee. Grant, Lord, more life to those who are already alive and born again of God. Grant, Lord, that growth in grace. Grant, Lord, that spiritual maturing. Grant, Lord, that establishing in the faith. Grant, Lord, that deepening of the roots. Grant, Lord, that more abundant fruit to thine honour and glory. Grant a closer walk with thee. Do mercy, in mercy suit thy word to every case here before thee, and send none untouched, unmoved, unheard of, away. But grant a crumb of mercy to each one. Bless abundantly this house of prayer. We affectionately commend them to thee. We ask thy blessing upon them. Be a wall of protection about them. Keep them from Satan and his malice. Keep them, Lord, together. Keep them humble. Keep them at thy feet. Bless each member of this little church. Surround them with thy love and thy mercy. Be with them, Lord, in their church meetings. Grant them the mind of Christ. Be with them, Lord, when they meet around thy table month by month. Lord, be with us this evening. May we by faith behold a crucified Jesus who loved us and gave himself for us. Do add, Lord, unto this church those who thou hast saved, those who do know thee, those who do love thee, those who have that good hope through grace. And then, Lord, grant thy blessing upon this congregation too. Visit each one with thy great salvation. Bless them in their daily lives with their various needs, in the pathway of life. Thy presence through each journey shine, and crown each journey's end with heaven at last. Supply their every need, bear their every burden, relieve their every care. Bless and prosper the ministry of thy word here. Bless thy servants as they preach in this pulpit. And grant, Lord, that there may be an abundant harvest following the preaching of thy word to thine honour and glory. Bless, Lord, thy word as it is left outside this house of prayer, and may it be made a blessing to those who are constrained to take up a copy of thy word. Lord, may they read it. Lord, may it read them. May they come to know thee through it. And do grant, Lord, those additions to this church and also to this congregation. Remember those gathered from other causes of truth this night. Grant them also to know thy blessing and help. Remember any unable to be here tonight, those listening online from their own homes, be with them and help them and bless them where they are. Bless the babes, the young in the way. Lord, early in life, may they know thee. And as children, be given that simple faith in thee. Remember those in the midst of life. Remember those in its evening time. Lord, each stage of life has its various needs. Lord, do every burden bear. Do every need supply. Bless and help the deacons of this cause in the office thou hast called them to. Remember our friend the deacon here in his pathway, in his loneliness. May he know thy comfort and support, thy sustaining hand. Be with any listener, Lord, who need thee in a peculiar and a special way. Any, Lord, in trouble. Lord, may they have peace this night. Say unto them, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And may, Lord, thy word calm their storm. Command deliverances for Jacob, we pray, in their trouble. May they be able to praise thee for what thou hast done for them. Be of any, Lord, who need to be directed by thee, who know not what pathway to take. Do draw near unto them and guide them aright. Bless those in conviction of sin with pardon for their sin. Bless those who have never been convicted of sin this night with that conviction. May they begin to seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. So, Lord, we ask thy blessing. We ask thy presence. And bless, we pray, the gatherings of thy people up and down our land this night, the labours of thy servants. And bless thy people who have already gathered in earlier parts of this day. And wherever, Lord, thy people have gathered around thy word today, may thy blessing have been known. Do bless our rulers, raise up at this time a godly prime minister to reign over us and rule. Remember our queen in her old age, and may she know thy grace and thy love. Grant, Lord, that we may yet have better days in this nation. when thy word is again honoured and obeyed, when thy houses are filled instead of emptied, and when thy word is abundantly blessed. So, Lord, do come this night. Fill an empty vessel with Christ. Pour in, and Lord, then pour out upon this people. And may there be a reason why we are standing here this night. May we prove, Lord, that it is thy appointment. We ask to feel a union sweet. We ask a blessing on thy word. We ask, but all our askings meet in this, we ask thy presence, gracious Lord. And we ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn number 719. Come, ye Christians, sing the praises of your condescending God. Come and hymn the holy Jesus, who has washed us in his blood. We are poor and weak and silly, and to every evil prone. Yet our Jesus loves us freely, and receives us for his own. Hymn 719.
Seeking the Lord's help, we turn this evening to the chapter we read, the first epistle of John, chapter 4. And we will read this evening three words in the 16th verse. God is love. God is love. We have here an ocean in which eternity itself will not plumb or plummet the depths of the great truth of our text. Here we have the secret to why there is in heaven this evening an innumerable company of sinners saved by grace, because God is love. Here we have this evening why there are those on this earth who have that hope and assurance that they will one day join this company in heaven, because God is love. Here we have the foundation of all right hope, of all real religion. It is bound up in the love of God Almighty. To those who know this love, it is beyond all comparison, comprehension, or expression. As the hymn writer says, all worlds his glorious powers confess. His wisdom all his works express. But oh, his love, what tongue can tell? My Jesus has done all things well. To those who know this love, they are rich beyond all measure. Because they can never be lost. To those who are strangers to this love, no matter how successful and prosperous and rich they may grow here in this earthly life, they are inestimably poor. Because, friends, a healthy bank balance will never get us to heaven. It will never secure our pardon. God is love. May it then be our chief concern this evening to know this love for ourselves. God is love. Notice here it's in the present tense. Everything about God is in the present tense. Because God has always existed, and he will always exist. God has always reigned and will always reign. And all his attributes he has today, he has always had, he always will have. read in the Hebrews, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever, it is equally true of the Father and the Holy Ghost. God is love. Well, we will not this evening be able to do anything other than scratch the surface. This subject is so vast that if a minister only preached from these three words his entire ministry, and it was a long one, by the time he'd come to the end, he would only have just introduced the subject. With the Lord's help this evening, may we at least introduce it. And may it kindle a desire in our own hearts, either to begin to know it, or to know it more deeply than we already do. God is love. First of all, this love is a holy love. It is an uncompromising love with the justice of God. A great error has crept into the professing church of God today, which says that God is love, and because he is love, he is no longer bothered about sin. That is not what our text teaches, as we will come on to. God's love is holy. It is pure. It is perfect. And it has not compromised with the justice of God. But this love has made a way whereby sinners can be forgiven and accepted by God without his justice in any way being dishonored. And though God is love for his people, he has not, he does not, and he will not ever love their sins. All sin is as offensive to him today as it always was. That has not changed. So let us have a right foundation here. First and foremost, God's love is holy and pure. And in no way does it excuse sin in any one of those who are favoured to be recipients of the love of God. Secondly, God's love is everlasting. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. And therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. That's God's yea. Satan's yea was in the Garden of Eden, wasn't it? Hath God's yea, hath God said. Here's God's yea. Here is what God has said to his people. Yea. An answer almost to a question. Were they doubting it? Did you come into the house of God, poor trembling believer tonight, doubting, questioning? Here's God's answer. Yea, yes, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Now what does everlasting love mean? It is beyond comprehension. It takes us back into eternity past. And that's something we cannot measure. Because in eternity past, it never had a beginning. It has existed for as long as God himself has existed. And that is forever. And that is something, of course, that we cannot understand. It is something we can't get our heads around. We can't comprehend. We cannot explain. But beloved friends, it's the truth. As long as God has reigned in eternity past, so long has he loved this people. There never was a time when he did not love them. There never was a time when they were not in his eternal covenant, safe and secure. There never was a time when they were not saved. In eternal purposes, God's people, every one of them have always been safe in the arms of Jesus. And some of you are favored to be among them. May it be all in his time. Everlasting love, it moves into this time state. Believer, it means this, from the moment time began to the moment time will end and Christ will return, he looked upon you with the deepest of affection, with the warmest of thoughts, with affection overflowing. With this holy love. Even when you were dead in sin, in those years before you were called by grace, even in those years when in your own life's experience you were a total stranger to him, you did not know God. You didn't want to know God. You were perfectly happy, your life being what it was, living as God's enemy, at war with him, living a life of sin, of ruin, of disgrace. Even when some of you were not only indifferent to him, but in all honesty, you hated him. When you were as far off from God as you've ever been, even then, God loved you, child of God, with an everlasting love. His love for you in those years was not lessened or weakened because then you did not love him. It was the same constant flame as it was when you first began to love him and began to seek him. God is love. And that love, in God's due time, is what called you by grace. It is what made you begin to love him. You read it this evening. We love him because he first loved us. You first began to seek after him because he first sought you. You first began to wonder whether he loved you or not. It began to be a concern when you began to love him. And that is one of the marks of grace. If you've never had a concern or exercise whether God loves you or not, it's because you do not love him. But if there is this burden, this exercise, does he love me and do I love him? It's one of the marks of being among the sheep. Do you have that mark? Have you ever had that mark? Search your life this evening. Answer before God, not before me. God is love. It is that love which brought you out of nature's darkness into his marvelous light. It is that love which brought you to know what it was to be a sinner in his sight. It is that love that brought you to seek salvation only in Christ. It is that love which drew you to him. And it is that love that is continuing to draw you to him as you follow him, as he leads you through this journey of life here below. God is love. And, beloved friends, his love does not vary even though yours does. Is it not a sad fact that we do not always love him as we should? Or as deeply as we should, or as fervently as we should? Sometimes our love does grow cold, does it not? Sometimes we do get hardened and indifferent through sin. But you must not think that because you've grown like that, that he too has grown like that. Because God's love is everlasting. And also because it is undeserved and unmerited. You did nothing to deserve this love in the first place. And therefore you cannot do anything that will make him cease to love you, believer. Is not that a wonderful, amazing thought? That no matter how much a living child of God may backslide, may wander and stray, they cannot extinguish the love which God has for them. Was ever love like this? As long as God will reign in eternity to come, so long will he love those who are in our text. An everlasting love means just what it says, that it can never end under any circumstance whatsoever. This love is stronger than death. Death proves stronger than all other loves. Even the deepest love, the most enduring love between two people on earth cannot stand in the face of death. Death parts them, but not this love. This love is stronger than death. And before this love, even death itself must give way. And death is but the door into the full knowledge of this love. Because you and I can only know here just a tiny sip of what there is to come. Because we could not bear more here. The best is yet to come, believer, but it will come. God is love. And not all the wanderings of your heart, and not all the doubts of your heart, and not all the opposition of Satan to you can make his love from you depart. God is love. Thirdly, God's love is almighty. Remember who we are speaking of here. No less than Almighty God. There is no one stronger than God. He is almighty. He is all powerful. He is all strength. So is his love. And it is the power of that love which takes an enemy of God and makes him into a friend of God. Which takes one who fights against God with all their heart and makes him into one who is a soldier of the cross. Who takes one who is backslidden and perhaps long to turn their back upon God and brings them back. God is love. See that in the life of the Apostle Paul. Had you met him as he was setting off for Damascus from Jerusalem? You would have thought there is a man who it is utterly impossible for him to be saved. His hatred of the Lord Jesus Christ, it seems, was almost irrational. He could not stand it, the mention of that name. It drove him into a frenzy almost. And his hatred for that name was so powerful that whenever he heard that name, he reacted powerfully and forcefully against it. What happened when Almighty Love arrested him on that road? When that light shone from heaven. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And thereafter, there was not a man who had a more deeper love than the Lord Jesus Christ upon earth than the Apostle Paul. That is what God's love can do. That is what it has done. That is what it can yet do. And so this evening, do not despair. Those of you who this evening feel to be afar off from God, those of you who feel to be too sinful and polluted and vile, do not despair. God's love is stronger than your sin and it can overcome it. And those of you perhaps who have loved ones who cause you concern and who, as you sit this evening contemplating it, you think it is utterly impossible for them to be brought back or for them, even though they haven't gone away, to begin to consider the things of God. Yes, with you it is impossible. But not with God. So pray on. Don't give up. Don't despair. Don't go back in this matter. Pray on. Resting in the almighty power of God, that he can, if it is his will, work even in that case. God is love. God is love in the three persons of the Trinity. And let us consider this glorious aspect of our text for a moment. First of all, God the Father is love. And he overflows with love for his people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the emphasis there isn't just that God loved, it says he so loved. To me it seems his love overflows. And the fruit of that love was that he gave his only begotten Son for those for whom he has loved. God is love. It was the sovereign love of God the Father which chose this people ere time began. And God had a sovereign right to make that choice. And the electing love of God is clear in Scripture. We deny that God has a saving love for all mankind. Beloved friends, if God loved all mankind in a saving way, all mankind would be saved because his love is so powerful. God has a care and a concern over his creation. But the saving love of God in which our text speaks of is for a specific people. And just in passing, going back to that text, God so loved the world, so often quoted by those who believe in universal redemption. We have to remember the audience to whom the Lord Jesus was speaking. He was speaking to a Pharisee. He was speaking also to his disciples. And they had been brought up to believe that God only loved the Jewish nation, and that his love began and ended with the Jews and no one else. And right there at the beginning of his ministry, the Lord Jesus Christ is beginning to tell his hearers that his love is not just for the Jew, it is also for the Gentile. His love is so vast, it covers every nation on earth, every island on earth, it covers every race, it covers every language. We are told that that number is so vast that it is a number known to God alone, that it exceeds the sand on the seashore. May we be found among them. But God the Father chose this people because he would. He didn't choose them because they are any better than anyone else. He chose them for his own honour and glory, for his own will, for his own sake. And as he looked upon this people, he knew that each and every one, without exception, would ruin themselves in sin, would rebel against him, and would completely be unable to save themselves. And because his love would not lose them, he sent his beloved Son into the world for their salvation. God the Father's love and compassion and care is as great as the Son's is as great as the Holy Ghost's is. It is one of the devil's slanders which says that God the Father somehow is a cold, forbidding God who is angry. No, friends. Remember, God is the same. He is the same in his love in all three persons of the Trinity. And it is equally true. Yes, God the Father is angry with sin, but so is the Son and so is the Holy Ghost as well. Child of God, if you this evening by faith could pierce the skies, you would see nothing but love in the heart of your Heavenly Father. May that open your mouth wide in prayer, in confidence that you are coming to a God of love, who loves to hear you bring your needs to him and who loves to supply them. God is love. Secondly, God's beloved Son is love. If God in love sent his Son into this world to save sinners, equally it can be said in love that God the Son willingly came into this world to save sinners. He did not do it reluctantly. He did not do it half-heartedly. He did not do it resignedly. He did it because his heart overflowed with love toward this people. With compassion, he looked upon them. With them upon his heart, he was born in Bethlehem. And with them upon his heart, he went to the cross to save them. Come, ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power. He is able, he is willing, doubt no more. Saviour is both willing to save and able to save, and he has saved his people. And if this evening you say, but that's the point, I don't know if I am among his people, you have got to come to God as you are, as a sinner. We cannot come to God feeling to be elect, feeling to be chosen, feeling to be saved. We all have to come the same way, as poor, lost, ruined, guilty sinners, and cast ourselves upon the mercy of God. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. If you don't know how to pray, begin there. What does it mean? It's asking God not to deal with you as you deserve. And what do you deserve? To be utterly cast off, to be utterly rejected, to be utterly condemned, to be left with Satan. But if God has mercy upon you, he will not do that. Instead, he will give you of his grace, which is to give you what you do not deserve, and to spare you and to save you. to give you a place in his heavenly kingdom and to prepare you for that place. God is love. And we see the love of God at its deepest at Calvary, as Jesus stood in the sinner's place. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Nothing but love constrained the Saviour to go that way to Calvary. It were an easy part for him to put to flight those soldiers as they came to arrest him in the Garden of Gethsemane. It would have been an easy part for him to strike down all those hardened, wretched sinners who opposed him at that judgment seat. He could easily have made those soldiers to go to the ground and they would have been powerless against him. And he could have gone his way. But instead, believer, with you upon his heart, he went to Calvary. And there he suffered. There in almighty love, God in his infinite justice diverted the just, righteous, justified, vindictive anger which, child of God, you had earned by your sinful life against God, and diverted it to fall upon the person, the soul, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ upon that cross. And he was punished in your stead. Was ever love like this? That he who we had sinned against would be willing to bear our punishment instead of inflicted upon us. How powerful and how deep must the love of God go? And his beloved Son was willing to endure all that, rather believe and lose you at last. God is love. And we also see love triumphant at Calvary. He triumphed when he cried, "It is finished." The debt was paid in full. The work was accomplished, and he knew it was accomplished. What he was saying is, "I've done it. The work's done. The debt is paid." And the word he used was, in the Greek, used when a debt had been paid in full. It was used, written over the debt, to show that that debt was finished, and the case was closed, and that all parties agreed it was closed. Child of God, there's nothing left for you to do in regards to your salvation. Jesus has done it all. And it is now our privilege to seek to keep God's law, not trying to earn salvation, but out of love to him who has saved us through that precious blood. God is love. And if he has loved you, believer, so much, then there should be nothing that you should not be willing to do for him in return. The love of Christ constraineth us, says the Apostle Paul in one place. So it should. The love Christ has for us should be what motivates us to live a life of obedience to God and to Christ in return. To live a life as consistent as possible to the example of Christ. May his love constrain us more and more. God is love. And then the love of the Holy Spirit. What can we say about his love? Equally enduring, equally pure, equally perfect, equally as everlasting as the love of the Father and the Son. It is the love of the Spirit which causes him to come into the heart of someone who is completely a stranger to him. And to teach that one to become a child of God, to become a soldier of the cross. It is the Holy Spirit who gives us life, without which we are dead. And just as it is impossible for a dead man in the graveyard to rise to life, so it is utterly impossible for someone dead in sin to give himself the life of faith. It is the Holy Spirit who plants the root of faith in our hearts. And if he did not do that, we would remain strangers to God forever. It is the love of the Spirit that watches over that root and protects it and takes care of it so that it grows, so that your faith grows, so that your love grows, so that your graces grow, so that you begin to know God, so that you begin to trust him, so that you begin to seek him, so that in his own good time you find him. It is love which makes him show you you're a sinner. Now, to start with, that doesn't feel like love, does it? To realize that you are lost, ruined, on the road to hell. But would you have sought him? Had you not been made to see yourself as a sinner? Would you now value the blood of Christ as much as you do? Had you not been shown something of your sinnership? It is love in the heart of the Spirit of God that reveals to us that we are sinners in a time where salvation may be found. You know, those who are lost, they will not know really and truly they're sinners until they're in hell, and then it will be too late. Then they will seek for pardon, for mercy, for salvation, but it will never be given to them. It's too late. But to those in our text, God in love makes them see something of the pollution of their nature, something of their great need of a change, something of their need of salvation. And it is just as much love, believer, when God shows you your sin, as when he blesses you with a pardon of your sin. God is love. But it is also love, is it not? When he does show you the pardon of your sins, some of you have known him. And thus saith the Lord, yea, I have loved thee. We go back to it. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Some of you have had that word. But beloved friend, even if you have not had that word, if you have been blessed with the pardon of your sin, and if he has given you another promise, that word is still true. Even though he may not have said it to you, he is performing it for you. And God always keeps his promises. So perhaps it's something else. But you know, all his promises have the root of his everlasting love. I must close because the time has gone. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. He's given you a fear not. Rejoice, because that is not just for time, it's for eternity. He never ever says fear not to someone who is not a child of God, because they have every reason to fear. If he said to you, fear not, there's pardon, there's peace, there's heaven in it at last. Perhaps he said this to you, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. All these promises, and those ones which you have had, but which I've not mentioned. And just because I haven't mentioned them, it doesn't mean he hasn't said them to you. They're the fruit of his love. The love of the Spirit. And he will keep every one of those promises. That love will guide you, will guard you, will keep you, will restore you, will make you ready for heaven, and at last receive you into glory, where there, in the blazing glory of eternity, face to face with God your Saviour, you will dwell in the presence of his love. That love which is the light which fills Emmanuel's land. They have no need of the sun, nor of the moon, nor of the stars. For the glory of God lights it in the face of Jesus Christ. And that glory, beloved friend, is a loving glory. Yes, some of you have known that love here below. But you'll know it far deeper, far clearer, and far greater in Emmanuel's land. There, swallowed up with his love, forevermore you will live in the presence of your Saviour, of your Father, of your Comforter, of your Friend. In that perfect peace, rest and happiness that can never end or be destroyed. The love of Christ constraineth us. May that love constrain you and me. May God cause you and me to know that love. May it constrain us to love him in return. May God add his blessing. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Buss will administer the Lord's Supper after this service. Mr. Timothy Pocock is engaged to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Robert Field next Lord's Day. Our closing hymn is number 96. We may not be able to sing this hymn with assurance, May we be able to sing it in hope. 96. Now I have found the ground wherein my anchor hope shall firm remain, the wounds of Jesus for my sin, before the world's foundation slain, whose mercy shall unshaken stay when heaven and earth are fled away. Hymn 96.
Oh,
O Lord, Almighty God, may we know what we have been singing, and in that day and hour of death, may we indeed prove mercy's full power then, loved with an everlasting love. Do pardon and forgive all that thou hast seen wrong in our worship of thy great and holy name this day thus far. Bless thine own word unto us. Be with any, Lord, who now go on their way. Watch over them. Protect them, bless them. Be now with those of us who at thy gracious command and invitation venture near to the table of the Lord to remember thy dying love. Lord, remember us as we seek to remember thee. And Lord, remember those who may watch from afar but not partake. In thy time, Lord, may each one here be partakers. And Lord, may each of us be partakers of the substance of what we're remembering. Redeeming love and pardoning blood. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Ghost, be with us now and forever. Amen.